Good morning. How many of you are glad you're here? The ship is kind of leaning this way. That's all right. So let's see. So this is the right side of the sanctuary. Now, actually, the right side looks a little empty. Okay. All right. I'm not going to say who's on the right side and who's on the wrong side, because we're all on the Lord's side. Amen. All right. Woo. Yeah, I got some amens. That's pretty good. All right. Well, if you are a guest with us this morning, we want to say thank you. Thank you so much for choosing to be with us, and we are so grateful that you are here. Hopefully, when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it at the information table out in the foyer, that would be very, very helpful to us. And then hopefully everybody who came in got a bulletin this morning. Did you all get a bulletin? All right, open it up. There's lots of information in there right after our morning service. And by the way, as you can see, we're doing communion. So that means this is also the Sunday for you to be able to give an offering for the Benevolence Fund. And remember, that is above your regular giving. And that goes to help those in our church family that may have financial needs. But right after our morning worship service, we have Sunday school. And we have Sunday school from for the kids all the way up through adults. And in our adult Sunday school class, we are studying how to navigate as a believer through some of the things that we are facing in our culture, having a biblical worldview, having a biblical perspective. And so I hope that you'll stay and join us for that. Even if you haven't started joining us for Sunday school, today would be a great day for you to be able to do that. Wednesday at 1 p.m., we will have our Joy Bible study here at the church, continuing on in our study of the book of Romans. And so we had a great time of review last Wednesday. This Wednesday, we're going to, I think, finish up chapter 5 and maybe get into chapter 6, but I make no promises. Okay? All right. Thursday, we have Awana, and it's fashion disaster, and you can only imagine what that means by that description. All right. And then Saturday, we have men's breakfast at the church. All right. I got the wink. So that means we're on. Okay. So Jared is going to be cooking breakfast for us. So you're going to want to be here for that. Also, if you want to be a part of the prayer chain, there's a sign-up sheet at the information table. I need your name. I need your email address so that we can make sure that we put that into the prayer chain. So if you have any questions, if you have a request, please forward that request on to me. Let me know either by text or by email or by hey you, and I'll be happy to be able to spread that down the prayer chain. There's a new updated church directory. That's a pictorial church directory. If you haven't checked your mail slots yet, you don't know that you already have one. All right, so they're in your mail slots. So make sure that you check your mail slots right out here in the foyer before you leave this morning and get your pictorial directory. There are some additional copies, but if you already have one because of the one that's in your mailbox, you probably don't need one from the information table. If you have any questions, let us know. There's also some directories that don't have pictures. They just have names, addresses, phone numbers, that kind of information. Those are also available at the information table. And thank you, Christine, for all of your hard work in putting this together. We so much appreciate it. Ladies, there's a couple of announcements for you in the bulletin. I hope that you are paying attention to those, that you have those on your calendar, and that you know what to do in order to be able to participate in those couple things. So if you had a good week, are you ready for a good morning? Hello? let me try this. Are you ready for a good morning? Yeah. Okay. It's not going to be as loud as over here. Are you ready for a good morning? Yeah. Whoa. I think they're ready. All right. Let's get after it.
Would you all stand with me as we sing this morning? Some classics. Ready to celebrate Jesus? Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. And he lives forevermore. He is risen. He is risen. Come on, celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. With my heart, rejoicing within, with my mind focused on him, with my hands raised to the heavens, all I am worshiping him. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Give the Lord a round of applause this morning. Come on. He is worthy of our praises. Amen. Amen. Yes. You can go ahead and be seated if you want to sit. You can stand and sing with us, whatever you want to do. Just worship our Lord this morning, okay? How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets. To look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar.
glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Majesty. Worship is majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise.
Come on, worship.
Oh, majesty, the kingdom authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Worship is majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, the King of all kings.
So exalt,
oh so exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Oh, majesty, we worship his majesty. Who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Jesus who died.
Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Amen. Please go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. Boy, if you haven't found a reason to praise yet, then, well, are you still breathing? Our usher's going to take this morning's offering as we continue to give glory and praise to our God.
When I'm at my end, you're just getting started. When I hit a wall, you just walk through. When I face a mountain, you are the maker, so it's gotta move. When I'm out of faith, you are still faithful. When I'm at my worst, you are still good. In all of my questions, you are the answer. It all points to you. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I've still got a reason to praise, 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 yeah. Out of our wrongs, you write our story. Out of the cross come rivers of grace, out of the grave bursts a revival no tomb can contain. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, 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 yeah. When you come around dry bones, come to life, deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. And when you come around, my heart starts to beat again, lungs stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise. When you come around, dry bones come to life, deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. And when you come around, my heart starts to beat again, lungs stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, 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 yeah. I've still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. I've still got a reason to praise.
So this morning is communion. Communion is all about us celebrating what it is that Jesus has done for us on the cross. And if that's the only thing that God did for us, provided us a Savior so that we could be reconciled back to God, so that we could believe in Him as our Savior, we'd still have a lot to praise God for. Amen? All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful that we could lift up our voices to you with our praise. And Father, I just pray now that we will lift up our hearts to you, asking you to fill us with your word, asking us to teach us those things about you that you want us to be able to know this morning. And Father, may we not just be hearers, but Father, may we be doers. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, while they're being dismissed, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to chapter 3. We're going to look at several different verses this morning, but for the most part, we're going to be in chapter 3. Now, chapter 3 of Romans. Did I say that? Romans chapter 3. I think I'm teaching my Bible study on Wednesdays. They all know that we're in Romans, but anyway, Romans chapter 3. So, I've put together a message to center our hearts and our thoughts on communion this morning. And then next week, we are going to start a study in the book of Acts. So I'm going to be preaching through the book of Acts. I've never preached through the book of Acts before. But there's so much in there that God wants us to be able to know. So much in there that God wants us to be able to learn. And so I want to encourage you to be able to just put it on your calendar to be here for our study in the book of Acts. Now, as holidays come, as communion comes, we might take a little detour, but for the most part, for the next who knows how long, I'll be preaching through the book of Acts. I'm a little bit afraid of preaching through the book of Acts, because at one time, I preached through the book of Ephesians in one of my previous churches, and there were times when God would give me a sermon on a set of verses from a chapter, and I would put that sermon into place. I would preach it, and then I would be ready to move on, and God would say, nope, stay here. There's more. There's more that I want you to be able to communicate. There's more that I want those that are listening to you to be able to hear and to be able to know. I don't know if he'll do that in our study of the book of Acts, but we're just going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Won't that be good? So you've probably already noticed that the title of today's message is Telling His Truth. You know, as a preacher, I'm a truth teller, but I don't tell my own truth. I don't tell someone else's truth. I tell God's truth. And I hope that you all realize that. But as I was doing some research, I found some nuggets of truth from a secular, from a humanistic point of view. And most of these that I'm going to share with you have come from people that we would call celebrities. Some of them are still with us. Some of them have been dead for a long time. But nonetheless, I want you to be able to kind of hear what their nuggets of truth was. Phyllis Diller said, I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford. Then I want to move in with them. Not a bad idea. Betty White said, the older you get, the better you get, unless you're a banana. Shirley MacLaine, who probably would know, said the best way to get most husbands to do something is to suggest that perhaps they're too old to do it. A fellow named Norman Wisdom said, as you get older, three things happen. The first is your memory goes, and I can't remember the other two. Joan Rivers said, you know you've reached middle age when you're cautioned to slow down by your doctor instead of the police. Lucille Ball said, the secret of staying young is to live honestly, eat slowly, and lie about your age. Oprah Winfrey said this, lots of people want to ride with you in the limo, but what you want is someone who will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. Oh, I love this one, Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown said, sometimes you lie in bed at night and you don't have a single thing to worry about. That always worries me. Charles Lamb said, I always arrive late at the office, but I make up for it by leaving early. And Zig Ziglar, this is one of my favorite quotes from Zig Ziglar. He said, you can't have a million-dollar dream with a minimum wage work ethic. That's pretty true, isn't it? So let's look at the truth of God's word, though. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says that God made Adam and Eve in his image and after his likeness. So what does that mean? That means that we were made in God's image. You realize that as human beings, we are the pinnacle. We are the ultimate of his creation. Because none of the other parts of creation was made in God's image. It was made by God. And as we go back to the book of Colossians, Colossians tells us it was made by Jesus. Jesus is the creator. And all things were made by him and for him. And so we as human beings are the only part of God's creation that are created in God's image. So that sets us apart. By the way, that sets us apart from the stars and the planets and the trees and the flowers. So if somebody asks you, so if you were a tree, since maybe you are a tree, what kind of a tree are you? You can say, I'm not a tree. I'm created in God's image. I'm different than the trees. You know, there are scientists who want us to believe that as human beings, we're part of the animal kingdom. No, we're not. We're created in God's image. We're not like the animals. God created us after his likeness. Now, does that mean that you and I look like God? Now, if you're looking at me this morning and you're thinking, boy, I see God. I can see exactly God's appearance. Nope. Now, if you look at my inside, hopefully you can see God. Hopefully you can see my love for God that comes as a result of God's likeness in me. Hopefully you can see that I want to be more and more like God. I want to do the things that God wants me to be able to do. That's all part of being in the image, in the likeness of God. We were made in God's image, which means there is something in us that reflects who God is. Because you've been made, because I've been made in God's image, every part of my life, every part of your life needs to reflect, especially as a believer in Jesus as Savior, who God is. And because we are created in God's likeness, because we are created in His image, you and I were made with the opportunity to know God personally. But there's a problem. Even though we were made by God to know God, we have a habit of moving away from Him. And when we want to find Him, we end up looking in all the wrong places. Now, thankfully, God has revealed Himself to us. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, it says that God is not far from each one of us. Now, one of the characteristics of God is that He is holy, which means He is completely pure, free from all evil, completely without blame or error. In essence, holiness is what makes God God. And because of His holiness, God doesn't lower His standards. He never compromises. He makes no deals. God is the ultimate standard of what's right and what's wrong. This means that everything He says about us and everything He says about Himself is true. So this morning, I want us to look at two truths. The first truth is the truth about us. And let me give you a spoiler alert. It's not pretty. All right? The truth about us. Truth be known, all of us have a problem called sin. Anybody in this room never sin? Good answer. All right? Sin is not readily talked about anymore. You understand that, right? You can go to churches, even in this Treasure Valley, and you can go to them for years and never hear the word sin mentioned. Not true here. Not true here. Sin isn't a polite topic, especially in a politically correct world. You don't believe that? Try mentioning the word sin the next time you're with a group of people and see how long it takes for someone to change the subject or to leave the area. I remember when we were Awana missionaries, we used to do events, and we would do events in Tri-Cities. And in Pasco, I had this favorite hotel of mine that I liked to stay at when we were there doing our events, or when I would go and spend some time there in the Tri-Cities visiting the churches and doing whatever needed to be done as an Awana missionary. And this favorite hotel of mine had the largest hot tub I have ever seen. It was huge. It's not like one of these little dinky ones that are in some hotels or maybe in your backyard. This was huge. It was the biggest hot tub I've ever seen. It's the biggest hot tub I've ever been in. And one time we were there and we were doing some events, and we had taken some people from Spokane down to the Tri-Cities with us to be able to help us in this Awana event. And so we had gone to the location, and we had set everything up, and we went back, and we couldn't wait to be able to get into the hot tub. So a group of us get into the hot tub, and as we're going into the hot tub, there's some guys that are there, and there's beer bottles all around the edge of the hot tub. So you can imagine what those guys were doing, right? They were drinking. You can imagine with all of those beer bottles, you can imagine what attitude and what actions they were all about, right? And so we kind of, you know, make our way into the hot tub, and we find a little bit of space. And so we're sitting there, and it was a little bit crowded, and it was a little bit uncomfortable because of the behavior of the guys who had been drinking from the bottles that were all around the edge of the hot tub. So one of the guys that we were with, he said to me, just as loud as he could, he said, "So Sam, you're preaching tomorrow, aren't you?" And I said, "I am." And these guys look at each other and they went, "A preacher? A preacher is in the hot tub with us." They didn't know what to do. So then my friend says, so Sam, what are you going to be preaching on tomorrow? And I said at the top of my lungs, in my best preacher voice, I said, I'm going to be preaching about sin. They looked at each other. They climbed out of that hot tub. They couldn't get out of that hot tub fast enough. It was the funniest thing ever. It was great. But you know what? That's the way it is today. You go into a crowd and you start talking about sin, people are going to, they're not going to want to listen. They're not going to want to hear the truth about sin. Why? Because they all understand that sin is inside the heart of every person. No one is immune. No one is exempt. And no one is truly innocent. How many of you are innocent? How many of you are exempt from sin? Good answer. Not even me. Not even me. Romans chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. And Jared gave a wonderful sermon on these verses last week. And if you missed it, you need to go to the website and you need to be able to listen to it. But Romans chapter 3, verses 12 through 16 gives an accurate, though unflattering, picture of each one of us. Listen to what it says. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Whoa. That's quite a picture, isn't it? Oh, it gets worse. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. What a wonderful picture, isn't it? Aren't you glad? Now, Paul right here is giving us an x-ray of the condition of a sinful person. He talks about the tongue. It's used to lie and to be dishonest. Can you relate? Their lips are used to harm and poison the character of someone else. Can you relate? Their mouth is used to insult, to use profanity, used to justify their woe is me attitude. Can you relate? Their feet is used to chase after the paths of the world. Can you relate? You see, God's word traces sin back to the Garden of Eden. God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, all of the garden is for you. All of the garden is here for you to be able to enjoy. Enjoy every bit of it. This world is yours to be able to explore and to be able to enjoy. But the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not for you. Not for you. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree. And then Satan came along and he took on the form of a serpent and he deceived Eve, who ate the fruit. And then the Bible tells us she turned and she handed the fruit to Adam. She didn't have to go wandering through the garden going, Adam, Adam, guess what I did? Adam, guess what I have for you? No. She turned. The Bible says she turned and gave the fruit to her husband. And Adam ate. It was through their deliberate choice that sin entered into the world. Now, theologians call this event the fall. You ever heard that? The fall. What this means is that when Adam ate the fruit, he fell from a state of innocence into a state of guilt. He fell from grace to judgment. He fell from life to death. So what does this all have to do with you and me? Well, in a biblical sense, we were there when Adam sinned. When Adam disobeyed, you disobeyed. When Adam fell, you fell. Adam was the driver of the bus of humanity, and when he drove the bus over the cliff of sin, we all went down with him. And as a result, sin has separated us from God. From that moment on, sin has affected every part of your being, your mind, your emotions, your will, your intellect, your moral reasoning, your decision-making, your words, and your actions. No part of our life is exempt from the devastating effects of sin. Now, recently when Becky and I were on vacation in Phoenix, we went out to dinner with our friends and their families to the old spaghetti factory. And oh, was it good. And as we finished eating lunch, our friend's granddaughter had spaghetti sauce all over her face. You know, sin is like that. It's all over our face and every other part of our life. Someone has said that if sin was purple, we'd all be purple. All over. Because Romans chapter 3, verse 10 tells us what? None is righteous. No, not one. None is righteous. And in case you don't understand that, no, not one. Remember, God doesn't lower his standards. God doesn't make exceptions. God doesn't bargain. God says no one is righteous. No, not one. Now, the truth is that God judges sin according to a different standard than the one we often use. You know, when it comes to our sin, we grade on a sliding scale. For example, we look at those around us and we say, I'm not as bad as they are. The truth is that God doesn't grade that way. Compared with God's standard of perfection, there is no one, not even one person, who comes close to being righteous in his eyes. Told you it wasn't pretty. So what is sin? Sin is any violation of God's righteous character. Let me say that again. Sin is any violation of God's righteous character. Now you might be saying, wait a minute, Pastor, how do I know what God's righteous character is? He tells us that in his word over and over and over again. The more that we get to know his word, the more that we know his righteous character. Sin is anything we say or do or think or imagine or plan that does not meet God's standard of perfection. And it doesn't matter if you recognize it or not, because it's the truth. It's the truth about us. Several weeks ago, I pulled into the church parking lot after it had snowed. There was some snow on the parking lot, and I couldn't see the parking spaces. And as I drove to my normal spot, I realized that I couldn't tell where the yellow lines were. So I just parked where I thought I should. Later on, I looked out the window by the doors outside my office, and I realized I was parked outside the yellow lines. What do you think I did? Did I go out and move my car? Nope. I just left it there. And that's a good picture of sin. You see, I was outside the limits. That's what sin is. The word sin means to miss the mark. It's the picture of an archer shooting an arrow and missing so badly that not only does he not hit the bullseye, he doesn't even hit the target. Sin causes us to aim our lives in the wrong direction and to miss the mark of what God wants us to do and to be. God's word says that because of sin, we're lost, separated from God, blind, dead, enslaved, helpless. I told you, it isn't a pretty picture. But now that we know the truth about sin and the truth about ourselves, let's look at the truth about grace. Why do we need God's grace? Because of sin, we are separated from God. And because of sin, we can't do anything about our sinful condition. When we were completely and totally and absolutely sinful, God chose to do something to rescue us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." What are these verses telling us? That our eternal salvation comes through faith. By grace, not by works, not by religion. And the truth about this grace that comes from God is that it is free. It is free. It is free for the believing. But you know, there's something in us, and I think it's because of our sin, that always wants us to add to God's free gift. And if we could add to God's free gift, then is it free? No. And then is it a gift? No. Because if we work, if we do something to be able to attain this, then it becomes a what? It becomes a wage. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God has given us a free gift, and it's his salvation, our eternal salvation, for all who believes in him as Savior. Now, it's humbling to admit that we can do nothing to earn God's deliverance from sin. And any time we try to add anything to God's grace, we subtract from its very meaning. Grace must be free, or else it is not grace at all. Now remember, before Jesus died on the cross, he shouted out, "It is finished." This phrase that Jesus shouted out from the cross literally means to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. Jesus did exactly what he set out to do. When he died on that cross, he left no unfinished business behind. In Greek, "it is finished" also means paid in full. It's an accounting term that means all the debts have paid. This is the truth of grace. Because God's holiness demands that sin be punished, God's grace provides the payment. God's grace provides the sacrifice needed to pay that debt of your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. And what God demands, he supplies. Our sins have been paid for. Your pardon from sin has been secured if you believe in Jesus as Savior. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he may bring us to God." Now here's some really good news. It doesn't matter how many sins you've accumulated in your life. It doesn't matter how guilty you think you are. It doesn't matter what you've been doing this week. It doesn't matter how many skeletons are rattling around in your closet. Jesus paid your debt of sin in full. So you don't have to pay anything. Jesus left no unfinished business behind. He completed what he came to do, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The moment you believe in Jesus as Savior, your sins are stamped with the blood of Jesus, paid in full. As we move towards participating together in communion, I want you to keep that in mind. Paid in full by his broken body on the cross. Paid in full by his shed blood on the cross. Paid in full by his bodily resurrection. Paid in full by his love, his mercy, and his grace. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table. And let me just remind you that you do not have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to be a person who believes in Jesus as Savior to participate together with us in communion. As you hold the elements in your hand, first the bread and then the cup, I want you to think about what Jesus has done for you. He paid your debt of sin in full.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners. Some from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Let's remember Jesus.
His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so Jesus Messiah, a name above all names, a blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners. Some from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, a name above all names, our blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners. The ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand for our last song?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Let's sing that chorus one more time and we'll close out.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.